We're up to the 20th chapter on page 128. It's a new packet, new parak. It's a very lengthy parak. We're probably not going to finish it this week. Or next week, probably. We'll see. Okay. We left off in the previous parak with a lot of prophesizing. Specifically, it was David who ran away because he had a couple spears thrown in his head by Shaul, the king. And he went not to the greatest of all hiding spots in the world. He went to Shmuel, and he began to prophesize with him. And then so what happened was Shaul started sending messengers, and those messengers began prophesizing. And then he sent another group prophesizing. We said a possibility of what the Nebuah was that David would be the next king. And therefore, even though they were sent on a mission to kill David, they certainly were not going to do that, especially after that Nebuah, the prophecy that Shaul was no longer really in charge. And then eventually Shaul goes himself. And just like all the messengers, he also prophesizes. And in the midst of all this, while Shaul is in the middle of this prophecy, Shmuel was there, but David apparently ran away. David left because he didn't want to wait until this trance finished, and then probably Shaul would kill him. So instead, as this parak now opens, we're going to see where David runs off to. He doesn't run to his wife, even though his trusted wife, Michal, was someone who saved his life, lowering him down a window with guards in front of the door. Instead, he goes to a very close, trusted friend. Although that very close, trusted friend happened to be the son of the king himself. Pasuk Aleph. Vayivrach David Benoyos Beramah. So we mentioned that that was the place where there was a beautiful place, Noyos Beramah. That's where they prophesied. And he ran away from that place because that's where his arch enemy at this time was prophesizing the king Shaul. So he ran away from there. V'yavo v'yomer lifnei Yehonasan. So he went in front of Yehonasan and he said, Meh asisi. What have I done? Meh avoni mechatasi lifnei avicha. What type of sins have I and treacheries have I committed against your father? Kimavakesh es nafshi. Because he obviously wants my soul. He wants to kill me. What did I do to deserve this?
Where was Yehonasan living? Do we know?
He was,
Was he in the palace? I
mean, apparently so.
So he went back there?
Yeah. He went back to the... He went back. That's what it seems like.
Although Shaul was in... Was at Minayos.
He left the palace.
So he went to
and he went back. So it's kind of like a circle. But he wanted some advice. Maybe Yonasan knew about this. Maybe Yonasan himself was part of this deal. After all, Yonasan will become the next king. All you have to do is kill David and I'm as good as gold. I'm the next king. So he went to Yonasan and he said, what's going on over here? Why is your father trying to kill me? What did I do? Maybe I can appease him somehow. What's the business over here? So we look at the Radak. The Radak tells us, Vayivrach David, he ran away. So this is what we mentioned. Ba'od shahayim isnavish Shaul barachlo. That he ran away while Shaul was in the midst of prophesizing. Because he was concerned the second he would regain his consciousness, kill him. So therefore he used that as an opportunity to run away. Again, David not being the greatest in finding good hiding spots, he goes back to the king's place to speak to Yonasan. Pasuk Bet. Vayomer lo. So this is what Yonasan was being accused of. A pretty strong accusation about himself, that maybe he was in on it, and that his father wants to kill this nice man. So Yonasan, who seems a little bit naive, Vayomer lo chalila. God forbid. Lo somus. My father has no intention to kill you. Hine lo us lo yasa avi davar gadol or davar katan, and I'll prove it to you. My father doesn't do anything. He doesn't do nothing. No big moves. no small strategic decisions. Vuyigalas ozni, before revealing it to my ears. Anything that he does, any political decisions he makes, he always discusses it with me. We consult, because after all, he probably thinks I'm training to be the next king, so he wants to kind of, I'm like his apprentice. Umadua yaster avi mimeni es hadavar hazeh enzos. And why would my father conceal this matter from me? Enzos, this cannot be the case. It's not possible. There's no possible way to say that my father wants to kill you. Now, obviously one of the difficulties is, when you have all you have to do is say, well, there's a couple spears thrown in my head, and there was guards in front of my door, and everyone knows that there was a bunch of guards that were sent, or messengers sent, and they were intended to kill me. What do you mean, Yonasan, lo somos, that he didn't want to kill you? Of course he wanted to kill me. What is he, completely naive? Let's see the Radak. The Radak helps us out a little bit over here. And I believe it's similar to what's said in the English on page 129. But we'll see the Radak inside. The Yermelo Chalila. Yesh lishol. You can certainly ask the following question. Heichayim avtichu Yonasan al sheker. How could he be so sure about this matter, which seems to be not so true? Veich omelo v'yigales ozni. How could he say that there's nothing that's ever told, that my father doesn't do anything without telling me? Vol any kol, everyone's eyes see, right, that hayirad from avakish is nasha. Everyone knows that Shaul wants to kill him. It was in every single newspaper. It was public knowledge, right? It was on the radios and on the 10 o'clock news. What is Yonasan thinking over here that lo somos, that my father doesn't want to kill you? So, the Radak gives us an interesting explanation. What exactly is Yonasan saying? Ela shahaya choshev Yonasan shlo haya b'lev aviv lahamiso acher shenishvelo. That really, my father, if you remember, he did swear to you that he would not kill you. It's not in my father's way to go against the shvua. The Yomer, after all, he did say, Chai Hashem im yumos. He swore that he would not kill you. Umashayimatilo hachanis achre shvua. Well, what do you mean? He obviously doesn't know how to keep his promises. After all, he did try to kill me, right? He wanted to throw that spear right into my head. So, umasha shalcha beisa l'shamra l'amiso, and the reason why he sent messengers afterwards to kill you, umasha halcha charav ad nios baramu l'amiso, and the reason why he went himself to kill you, hayachoshev Yonasan thought, ki mitnei ruach ra, shahayisa mevase soso hayaratzel hamiso, bo shahayisa bo haruach ra. The only reason why he wanted to kill you is because he had ruach ra, right? That's what the lawyers call nowadays temporary insanity, right? He really didn't mean to. He himself, using his own sanity and resources, his own abilities to think, he would never kill you. It was only when he was overtaken by this ruach ra. Kilo haisalu ruach ra el'itim. Because he only has this ruach ra once in a while. We skip a line. The chain lower inu, and in fact, if you notice, we'll see. We don't find sharos lahamiso achar shmua elabios alav rachra. We actually only find that the only time that Shaul wants to kill him is when he's overtaken by this evil spirit of melancholy. Skipping a few lines down again, which is underlined. Second, the last line before it gets wide. V'shol hoyibolivo lahamiso. Gamblo esurachra. But we're going to now see that Shaul did not just want to kill him when he was overtaken by this temporary insanity. He always wanted to kill him, even below esurachra. El shol hayimarizem itnei ashvua shenishbal Yonasan. But he didn't want to give this appearance because of the shvua that he made. He didn't want to give the appearance that he was going to kill him. Okadei shol yatev Yonasan. Or possibly because he didn't want to get his son upset. So that's how the Radak explains this explanation. That really he's not completely naive. And that's what it says also in the English on page 129. Shaul had not said any, since Saul had not said anything to Jonathan, it could only be that his attempts on David's life were the product of his melancholy. So it could be because of his ruach ra. And it's brought down in the Kehilas Yaakov with this regard. He adds to this that any time that shekol haradifa he machmas ruach ra, any time when someone is trying to kill you because of this temporary insanity plea, hari sha'itel achash v'ashol l'navos v'rama etzel shmuel v'chaz l'ishos of ruach ha-kodesh chaz v'nachshon l'riyas. That what happened, the difference between ruach ra is and the opposite of that is ruach ha-kodesh. Some say that when he went to this place, to Rama, he no longer had this ruach ra. He instead was given the nevuah once again, and therefore he was no longer overtaken by this illness, but rather now he became healthy. So that could be the mistake that Yonason made, because he knew his father. He knew his father was sick, mentally ill. So he said, it's true my father wants to kill you, but it's not because you really deserve to die. It's because he's overtaken by these problems. But he otherwise would, if he was able to think clearly, he would never want to kill you. But the reality is that once he went to Ramah, he lost his Ruach Ra, and he received again his Ruach HaKodesh, his Nevuah, which is what we talked about last parak. And still he wants to kill him, so we see that Yonason was greatly mistaken about the intentions of his father. Okay. Continue now with the next Pasuk, Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel tells us that, so that was Yonason. There's no way he would certainly tell me everything. Bishava od David, and David continued by swearing Vayomer, and he said Yadoa Yada Avicha Kimatzasichin Beinecha. He said, your father knows very well. I found favor in your eyes. We're good friends. We're buddies. Vayomer, and he said, Al Yeda Zos Yonason Pen Yeat Sev. I normally tell everything to my son, but this will be the exception. Because if I tell my son about what I plot to do against his very close, dear friend, he's going to be sad. V'ulam, says Mesuda Sion. However, v'avel, chai Hashem, I swear, v'chai nashecha, ki kapesa b'ni v'en amavas. There was just a small little step separating me from life and death. And Rashi explains that this is what we talked about in the previous chapter. What is this small little sliver between life and death? Rashi says, in Pasuk Gimel, Kipsia achas niftarti mipana. It was just one little inch that I was able to run away from him. Vehika b'chanis b'kir, because when that spear smashed right into the wall, inches from my head, so it was just inches that I was saved from death. So you can't possibly tell me that that he doesn't want to kill me, because no one is going to do such a thing without the intentions to kill. So therefore, this answers Yonason's question. My father tells me anything. The answer is you're right. But your father loves you so much that he wouldn't want to tell you, because it would hurt you so much by knowing this information. Which actually, some explain, this is a tremendous mila, a tremendous positive quality of David. That even though David at this moment saw that this guy wanted to kill him, he still looked at the sensitivity, the sensitive nature, the empathy that Shaul shows toward other people. That he loves his son so much that he doesn't want to make him sad. Usually when someone wants to kill you, you don't want to find any positive traits about the person. However, when it comes to David, he was able to zero in on that positive quality. Continue with the next pasuk down. Okay, so he's out to kill me. I hate to tell you, my friend. That's the reality. But Yomer Yonason el David. So Yonason responded. He said to David, "Ma samer nashecha v'asaloch." You know, whatever you tell me, whatever you say, I'll do. I mean, we're good friends, so whatever you want, which is an incredible statement. So we mentioned previously in Perkei Avos that any love, any relationship which is she'ena tluya b'davar, which is not attached to something, that will be miskayim, that will endure, because and that represents David and Yonason. not only did David and Yonatan love one another, care about one another as dear companions and dear friends, but at the same time, they were even willing to help one another to the extent that Yonatan was willing to. And one, you can be a friend, but to go out of your way like we're going to see Yonatan doing for David, even though David was the threat to taking over the throne, shows the tremendous love that Yonatan and David had for one another. That they didn't care for what each person could give to one another, but they cared about one another themselves as people. Pasuk Hey. V'yomer David el Yonatan. So David responds, oh, that was a very nice gesture. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you're willing to do anything. Since you asked, since you offered, Hinei Chodesh Machar. Tomorrow is a month, a new month. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Danochi Yoshev Eshev Im HaMelech Lecho. And as you know, on Rosh Chodesh, we always get together, we have a nice little meal, your father, the king, has this huge seuda for everyone, and of course I'm invited, because, you know, I'm David, I help him out, I play this harp, I'm a powerful militant for him. V'shilachtani v'nistarti basada, and I will be sent out, and I'll be hidden in the field, ad erev ha-shlishis, until the third evening. So, with your permission, I'm not going to show up to this thing, even though I always go. You know, we never miss it. It's a party that you would never want to miss. But nonetheless, this will be the one party which I'm going to skip. And for some reason, as we'll see in a few moments, that will trigger off some emotions in Shaul. Shaul may be very angry that I'm not coming to this party, or maybe he won't care.
Is this the catchword from
Bokha Kodesh? We'll
read it.
In fact, if we don't read it from here, but you'll see on page 132, down Pasuk Yudchet, which I'm hoping at least we'll get to Pasuk Yudchet, we'll talk about why we begin, but it's Machar Chodesh. We're going to see that's where we read from on the day, on times when Rosh Chodesh is on a Sunday. That's the Haftorah, which will be taken directly from this parak. We'll discuss a few reasons why when we get to it. So, Rashi over here tells us, Hinei Chodesh Machar, that the next day, which is Rosh Chodesh, Rashi says, Chidush HaLavana, when the moon is new, B'chol oichli shulchan ha-melech, en nimna ish v'lavo b'yom tov el-olecha. When it comes to that day, everyone comes to sit by the king and have a nice meal, have nice bread, everything. We're going to discuss why the king does that, and why people go to it in a few moments. But those are a couple questions we'll have to address. Why does the king have a nice party on Rosh Chodesh? Why do people attend it? And why would the king care if David didn't show up to it? What's the big deal? So what? So you missed a day. What's the problem? We'll get to that momentarily. But before we get to that, the question is, why did he choose Rosh Chodesh for the test? The test is going to be, as we'll see in the next couple of psukim, if he gets really angry, shows he hates me. If he doesn't care, doesn't care. Just tell him I went to my parents' house on vacation, I went on a nice little trip, and I'll come back in a couple days. I'm entitled to take a little vacation. So based on that, we'll determine whether he hates me and he wants to kill me, or maybe he doesn't hate me. Fine. Okay, so that's going to be the test. But the question is, why Rosh Chodesh? So it's brought down, and this might be a little bit of Kabbalah. Never heard anyone even ask Madonna. It says in Sefer Berachas Chaim that there's those people that Rachman Letzlan would enter the opposite of Gan Eden. They would go to Gehenna after 120 years. Ein poyel b'Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, shop is closed. There's no Gehenna on Rosh Chodesh. So, you know, if you show up to work on Rosh Chodesh, you work in Gehenna, you'll see the sign will say closed. Kishem Shiv Shabbos b'Shabbos. That's also on Shabbos. On Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, there is no such thing as Gehenna. And that's the reason why some of Farshim should explain. By extending Shabbos and extending your Shalshunas, and, you know, see, miss Star Trek or whatever else is on, Saturday Night Live, but this way it extends the the Gehenna from opening. Okay, whatever that means. This is, I don't know how they know this. I don't know this firsthand. Hopefully I'll never know this firsthand. But this is what the Mefarshim explain. This is what the Sfarim say. And it says that this is the reason why, if let's say Rosh Chodesh will be on a Sunday, that Saturday by the afternoon, we do not recite certain tefillot, such as Sidkat Chasedek. Because the neshamot do not go back to be judged on that particular time. And he actually says, how about on Yom Tov? Is the store open or closed on Yom Tov? So the Mefarshim say it's open. Yom Tov, it's open. There is Gehenna on Yom Tov. Only on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. And so the reason for this is that on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, those are Muadei Hashem. Those are Hashem's holidays. Hashem instituted them. And therefore, even a Rasha, it's applicable to. But the Yomim Tovim are connected to the Nisan, the miracles which happened to the Jewish people. And that's only Shaykh for a Tzaddik. Someone who's a Rasha, unfortunately, Gehenna, there's no Shaykhs to, doesn't that apply to, and therefore Gehenna still applies.
Excuse me,
Rabbi. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But isn't Yom Kippur, for instance, the
Shabbat Shabbaton? That's probably, yeah. That's not necessarily the same realm as the Yom Tov, because it has different... But the other Yom Tovim, which apply to Nisan, Pesach, whatever, and he says also, when it comes to if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, if Rosh Chodesh would fall out on a weekday, so there's a lengthy reading, Torah reading, four Aliyot. If it falls out on Shabbos, the last Aliyah is for Rosh Chodesh. But we don't begin with this paragraph of Rosh Echad Shechem. We actually begin two sentences before, Uviyom HaShabbat. Right? And the question is, why do we do that? Well, one is because we're reading on Shabbos. The other explanation is the correlation of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, that their Gehenna is closed. So why am I mentioning all this scary business, right, on a Monday morning? What am I trying to say? Because some explain that that's the reason why he picked Rosh Chodesh. Because Rosh Chodesh is a time of rachamim, of compassion. That Hashem doesn't exact punishment on the Rishayim, on those who deserve punishment, on Rosh Chodesh. Thought David, maybe that is the best time to find out whether or not I will be punished, whether I'll deserve to be killed or won't be killed. Because maybe on the schus, the merit of Rosh Chodesh, in which there's elements of rachmim, of compassion and kindness on that day, maybe that will give me the boost to be able to tip the scales, that I'll be able to be protected from the means of Shaul.
But I don't understand. Twofold. One, does he see himself as a Rasha? And secondly, he escaped those fears two times. Doesn't that mean anything in terms of Hashkafa Pratis?
Well, I guess the way to address the second question is the Radak, maybe... David maybe wasn't sure. Maybe it was because of his Ruach Ra. And now that David knows that he knew that he had a Nevuah. Because he saw, he was there, he had a prophecy. So maybe he changed. Maybe he's not going to be overtaken by this evil spirit. So maybe he really now will not want to kill me. It's possible. Maybe.
Who is he talking about? I thought he was talking about himself. He's talking about Saul, that being the Russian. Is that it?
He's talking about Shaul potentially killing me.
Right.
He himself didn't think he did anything wrong, but who knows? He doesn't think he's necessarily a Rasha, but who knows? Maybe I do deserve to be punished. If he kills me, obviously that shows I might have deserved it. I don't know if I did. Hopefully, based on the schus of Rosh Chodesh, I'll be spared, even if I maybe deserve to be punished. Maybe Hashem will look at me in a different light, and He will not be the vehicle to have me punished or killed, because maybe I'll be spared. It's a possibility. But the idea of what the Radak is saying, that maybe that what Yonah's son did was he actually put this doubt in his mind. Because if it was beyond the shadow of doubt, why would he go through this whole test? He would say, Yonah's son, just trust me. He wants to kill me. I mean... The fact that he's going through this whole test, I'm not going to be there, check out to see if he's happy, he's upset, and I'm going to be hiding, and you're going to start shooting some arrows, that's what the rest of the parak will mean, based on the message you give, will determine whether he wants to kill me or So it shows that David himself was in doubt. He wasn't sure. Even though he had spiritual throne. Maybe it was the Radak was saying. Maybe as he already received this Nevuah, that Shaul received, became a prophet, maybe he changed. He was a Chozer B'tshuva. Maybe he changed. And therefore, he's not going to kill David. So that's a possible way to interpret this. Okay. Let's move on to Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav tells us, the bottom of page 128, Im Pakod Yifkadeni Avicha. Pakod, as Mitzudas Sion tells us, Inyan Zikaron V'Hashkacha, like Hashem Pakad at Sarah, Hashem remembered Sarah, so she conceived. So, if your father remembers me, he notices that I'm not around, the Amart, and we're going to see, it's going to be pretty obvious because David sat right next to him. And we'll see why he did that next week. The Amarta, and you'll say to him, Nishal Mimenu David, that David actually asked my permission, Larutz Beis Lechem, Iro, to go to his, to Beis Lechem, the city, Ki Zevach HaYomim Sham L'chol Mishpacha, because he had some type of a party over there, for his entire family. It's something which is yomim. So it literally means for days. Mesudas Sion means hashana. Yomim sometimes means a year. But it could interpret, sometimes yom, so what do you mean, days or is it years? So some explain it means every year. Maybe it's like an anniversary. He's celebrating something which happens to be this particular time of the year. He goes every single year to his family. So you're going to tell, I couldn't say no. He asked me permission. Can I please not come to this meal? I have a very important affair to attend to. I do it every year. And that's what he said. Please tell your father those precise words. Okay? Pasuk Zayin. Im ko yomar. If this is what he says. Tov, good, shalom l'avdecha. Peace should be to your servant. That's fine. Great. I'm happy. Hope he has a great time. Then everything's fine. Then I know I'm not going to be killed. However, v'im chariyachara lo, but if he gets angry, if he's filled with wrath and fury, da, then I'll know ki kalta hara mi'imo. Kalta, as Mesudas Sion says, inyan sof gemar, it'll be completely known to me his evil intentions within himself. Okay. We see Rashi over here. Shalom l'abdecha, if it's shalom l'abdecha, in belibo lehargen, it's clear in his heart that he has no intention to kill me. The next Rashi says, but if he's angry, zehu, this explanation, shehelo motzei lehargeni, that he wants me to be nearby to be killed. I should be close, and he's upset. Man, I wish he was right here. I'd have been able to stab him. That's what's brought down also on page 131, the translation. It says, brings down two explanations. The Abarbanel first says that he could regard David's unauthorized absence as an act of rebellion that was enough to justify the death penalty by royal fiat, which is the Abarbanel's, or that he wanted David to be close at hand so that he could be killed, is what we just saw in the opinion of Rashi. Okay. Pasuk Ches.
Is that within the realm of the king? If he's missing from something, I guess he has a right to come?
We're going to see that by not going to this meal, for some reason, it shows that he's being more b'malchus. We'll see why. But
why would he chase after him if he knew this party was coming and David was supposed to show up? Why chase him if he knows the party's imminent?
Probably knew that he wouldn't come. Maybe he would think, there's no way he's going to come. I don't know. Or he said, you know what, why wait? Why should I wait until Rosh Chodesh? I'd rather kill him today. Why should I wait another few days? But could be. Very good. It's very possible. Right. When Rosh Chodesh, I'm not going to kill you. Tomorrow. Wait till tomorrow. But, it's possible. Very possible. Okay. Fine. Let's continue with the next pasuk ches. We're gonna see the reason why would not going to this party, who cares? It's a big deal. We'll get to that. V'yasisa chesed al avdecha. Please do kindness to your servant. Ki bris Hashem. Covenant. Hevesa es avdecha imach. We made a covenant. Was brought to your servant. This is... David is continuing to speak to Yonasan. V'im yesh vi avon. But if there's a sin... So do me this favor if I've done nothing wrong to you. But if you should know, if there was a sin, if I did something wrong, you kill me. Why should we have to go about going to your father and all this business? If I did something wrong, kill me. Kill me yourself. I have no problem with that. Okay. Continue with Pasuk Tes. Yonasan said, I'm going to kill you? You're my best friend. What? Chalilah, God forbid. Ki im yadoa yeda eda ki kol sahara miim avi lavaylecha loaso agidlach. If you think that if there was something which was not known to me, if there was something which was known to me, that my father had 100% completely finished his evil with you, he considered you that he was going to definitely kill you, you don't think I would tell you? You don't think I would tell you that information? I would tell you, of course, every piece of information. Vayomer David, El Yonasan. So David said, "Mi agidli? Who's going to tell me? How am I going to know this? I'm not going to go sit there, right? And there was no... spy cams or anything. How on earth am I going to know what transpires? Oh my Yancha Avichakash, who's going to answer me and tell me your father whether or not he's upset, if he's okay with everything? As Mesudas David says, Miyagidli, what's the lumber? Alide mi sagidli. Who's going to, through which hands? Who is going to tell me this information, this message? Pasuk Gedal, Yirmi Yonasan al David. Let's go out to the field. Both of them went out into the field. So in Pasuk Gedal, the Mesudas David tells us, he says, "Ki'ein lahamtik soid ki'im basada." When you want to tell someone the deepest of secrets to do in the field, so that no one else hears. And some ask, well, they're already in the middle of a pretty private, quiet conversation. So it's not so clear, but some have to interpret that maybe there was other people that came in at a certain point, or the information that they were going to say now was even more secretive, and therefore they went into the field, as we've seen before, by Yaakov, when he wanted to leave the house of Laban. He had Leah and Rachel go out into the field because of the famous expression, Oznayim Lekosel, that walls have ears. So that's how some explain that idea.
But also he's going to set the field up and let the scene for him getting the message to him.
So I'll see then.
Right. He's going to...
The field was going to be the place where
right.
The messages come through. So
right.
Maybe he sort of wanted a treasure.
Could be. That's very possible. That's because that is exactly the case. We're going to see that he's going to set it up in a particular field by a certain place. Okay. Very good. Pasuk good bet. But Yirmi Yonasan el David. So Yonasan says to David, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, which Rashi says that's a lashon shvua. It's an oath, a very powerful one. Ki echgor es avi, echgor as Mesudas Sion says, it's a lashon chakir v'drisha. I'm going to interrogate and really delve into this matter of my father. Keis machar shlishus by the third day. V'hini tov el David. It'll be good to David. V'lo oz eshlach elecha, v'gili says oznecha. And if it's something which is good to David, then I will send someone out to you, and they'll reveal this to your ears. Which means, if it's good news, I don't have to go myself, I'll send anyone to go. Because after all, no one's out to kill you. So I can say, yeah, go 4 paces that way, 50 paces that way, and you'll see him hiding. What's the difference? Because he's not going to be killed. Fine. However, in this event, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ko Yasa Hashem, fine. Ko Yasa Hashem Yonasan v'Ko Yosef, so will happen. So we'll continue. Ki'etiv el aviv, it'll be good. If it's good for my father, esarah ilecha, this evil upon you. V'glis es aznecha, then I myself will tell you. V'shalachtich v'olach l'shalom, then you'll be able to be sent and go out in peace. You'll be able to run away. If it's so, if my father wants to kill you, I'll do it myself because I can't trust anyone. Very possible they'll just tell the king and you'll be dead. V'hi Hashem imach, Hashem should be with you. Kasher ha'ya'im avi, just like he was with my father.
And what does that refer to exactly?
I think it means that just as my father was his king, was a powerful king, Hashem will see to it that eventually you may take over his position. There's no mafarshim that I saw on this. The Radak actually says something similar to that. If you see at the very bottom, I didn't underline it. It's the last Radak on Pasuk Yud Gimel. But Davar Hamalucha Yeimach, with regard to becoming a king, Shetatzliach al Oivecha, you should be successful over your adversaries. Okay. If we look at the Rashi, it says basically what we said before. Rashi breaks it down in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Li HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki Achor Esav, I'm going to interrogate my father, but Emsa, I'll find out, Shehu Toli Lecha, if it's something which is good for you, Imo Eshlach, Al Yidei Shliach, then it'll be just, I'll send a messenger, V'Glis Aznecha, because after all, everything is fine. Ki Atova Ani Yoch Ligolos, because if it's something which is good, I can reveal your hidden location. But says Rashi that if my father's intention is to kill you, then I'm not going to reveal where you are to anyone. I'm not going to send a shliach, a messenger, because maybe he'll let my father know about it. The place where you are. So therefore, I will tell you myself my father's intentions to have you killed. Okay, and that's also brought down very clearly on. In the English, on page 131, which is underlined as well in the top right, Jonathan made an oath with God as his witness that he would carry out the proposal to determine his father's intentions. News were good, meaning that David was safe. Jonathan would inform him by a messenger, but was bad, meaning that David would be killed. He would tell him personally. Continue with Pasuk Yud Dal. Pasuk Yud Dal tells us, V'lo Im Odenichai. It's a difficult way to translate this. I'm just going to read the pasuk translated the way it's translated here on page 131. V'lo sasi modi chesed Hashem v'lo amos. It's written in a rhetorical fashion. It says, I need not ask anything of you if I will still be alive when you become king. For would you not do with me the kindness of Hashem so that I will not die? It's basically saying, that's, as we're going to see in the Radak, that I certainly know that you are not going to kill me while you are, well, kill me, but I'm concerned perhaps of my offspring, as we'll see in the next Pesukim as well. But the Radak tells us in Pasuk Yud-Dalet, which kind of it helps us translate the Pasuk, which is maybe how the translation got it. It says, the bottom of the Radak, Lo eshel mimcha, I'm not asking anything from you, im odeni chai, kishetimloch, that I should be alive when you eventually become king. Because I'm not concerned that Hashem will not do kindness with me. I know that I am not going to be killed even when you take this position. You're not going to destroy me. I know you're going to do kindness with me, but if you jump to the last part, the second last line, of asking, that this should continue for all future generations. Not just you'll find favor in my eyes, you won't kill me. I know you won't kill me because we're close. But don't kill any of my relatives, my children, or descendants. This is Yonasan. As I'm doing you this favor, please make sure that you remember this favor for all future generations. Not just for me, but all.
He's acknowledging that David is the king, will be king.
Yeah. I mean, everyone already had this nevuah. I mean, it's pretty well known, which is probably the reason why Yonasan didn't want David killed, probably the reason why Yonasan became a friend with him. He knew that this is the will of Hashem. Yonasan was obviously a great tzaddik. Pasuk Tesva.
Yonasan himself didn't have the nevuah, did he?
Yonasan did not. No, he did not have the nevuah. but he was a man of tremendous emunah, tremendous faith. He was the one who defeated the Philistines with just he and the arms bearer. So he was someone who, you know, was a tremendous tzaddik, to say the least.
So against his father.
Right.
He's doing what's
but we don't find, all we do is find how great it is that he shows allegiance to David. We don't find anything about how he turns his back against his father. But the same thing, his sister did the same thing, Michal. Right? Michal also turned against his father, her father, because she saved her husband's life. And she lied to him. And she said, well, he was going to kill me. What am I supposed to do? Right? If I didn't save him, if I didn't lower him down the window, he said he was going
to
kill me. You're not allowed to break a halacha to follow kibud av v'aim. You have to follow the Torah, because both you and your parents have the obligation to keep. That's the reason why it's juxtaposed, kibud av v'aim and Shabbos, Rashi says. If your parent tells you don't keep Shabbos, obviously with sensitivity you have to explain to them the importance of the sanctity of keeping Shabbos, but you're not allowed to break Shabbos in order to follow your parents' laws, because they also have the mitzvah. They have someone also telling them to follow these laws.
But isn't Shaul supposed to be temporarily insane, or you know, whatever you want to call it? He has
right.
His mood swings where he's
right.
bipolar.
Could be.
You know, so maybe
right.
They know that he's not in his right mind.
Right.
So they're not going
really
to follow
against his father. He's just
I'm just wondering
right.
If like
very good.
You can obviously kill somebody in self-defense, and I'm wondering if because he was ill, they kind of gave him a lot more leeway. Would someone else.
They gave who a lot of leeway?
Shaul, because he was ill. In other words, if he wasn't ill and he was after him, then you can kill him and be justified.
Right.
And easily become king.
Right. Could be. Yeah, could be. Very good. Alright. Let's continue with Pasuk Tesvav. I want to get to Pasuk Yudches. I'm hoping. Pasuk Tesvav. Vlo Sachris Eschastacha, Sachris, as Mesudas Sion says, is Lo Simnesh, now would be withheld or removed, like Kares, cut off, your kindness, Im Basi Ad Olam, from my house forever, which is what the Radak says. I know that you're not going to kill me, but all future generations do not kill any of my descendants, Yonatan says to David. Vlo Bahachris Hashem Es Oyve David Ish Mi'al Pnei Hadama. And that also, even when Hashem removes and withholds from David's enemies from the face of the earth. And some say that Oyvei David is a euphemism talking about David himself, that even when David is not in such great levels of power, you should always treat my family with in a way that they should be spared.
Is there any comment on that? I mean, it sounds like, you know, they had such a connection. Why would this thought even enter this?
He made it, right, yeah. Right. Well, I mean, it's possible that, again, a person's children may not necessarily... Cause it's not just David and David not harming Yonatan's descendants. Apparently it means David's descendants not harming Yonatan's descendants. And there could be a lot more friction and there's no real connections. Like, well, I have no relationship with you. It's my father. What do I care? So maybe that's part of it as well. Pasuk Tes Zayin. V'yichros Yonatan im beis David. So he made a bris with David. Ubikesh Hashem yad oyvei David. And he requested with the words of Hashem from the hands of the enemies of David. Okay. V'yosef Yonatan l'hashpias David b'havasu also. And Yonatan continued to swear to David to make an oath due to his tremendous love, ki ahavas nafsho ahivo. They had tremendous love for their nefesh, their souls. It wasn't for any connection, any ulterior motives. It was ahavas nafsho. They had a complete connection one to another. Okay.
Are you across Yonatan in base David? It wasn't just with David, he did it with his...
Well, that's what he said for his, you know, the progeny down the line.
Right.
But in other words, here he's also he made a bris with in other words, with David for future generations.
Right. That could be why it says based of it, not just David. Right. Okay. The last pasuk we're going to see for today is pasuk Yudches. Vayomer lo Yonasan machar chodesh. So Yonasan said to him, he said, machar chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. V'nifkanta ki pokid moishevecha. And there will be something missing because your seat will be empty. They're going to notice, David, that you usually sit there, and for some reason, you're not there today. Okay. So, the question is, what exactly, as we mentioned, why do people go to this Rosh Chodesh meal? Why does he throw this big party? Why would Shaul care that David wasn't there? So it's brought down in the Sefer B'yos HaBoker. He says, very interesting explanation. He says, Shekavana Ratzel Livdok as Daito Shoshol. The reason why he picked Rosh Chodesh was a different reason. He wanted to be able to check and to see Shaul's intention. Shaul generally would get very angry at David not showing up to this party, or anyone else for that matter. Why? What's the big deal? Why should you show up to the king's table? Because ki Rosh Chodesh yesh din shel rias pnei rabo. There's a halacha that a student is obligated to greet and be by their teacher during the Yom Tovim. Not only during the Yom Tov, but also in Rosh Chodesh. There's a mitzvah that a student is supposed to be by their teacher during Rosh Chodesh as well as the Yom Tovim. So when a person goes to the king for a seuda, it's not just they're having a nice free meal, a nice free buffet, but what they're doing is they're saying, you're my king, you're my leader, you're someone that I can gain something from, and that's why I'm here today, because it's Rosh Chodesh. Now David leaving, where did he go? He went to his father's house. So he said, why would that get Shaul upset? Because Yishai was also a pretty powerful individual. So Shaul thought, maybe the reason why he's going to this guy Yishai is because he thinks he's greater than I am. He thinks that Yishai is a greater person than the king. And that would get the king extremely angry. He's supposed to visit me and show allegiance to me. Like, is the halacha you're supposed to do that on a Rosh Chodesh? And instead, here he is, he's visiting someone else. But why Rosh Chodesh? So it's brought down one of the famous Rashis in Parshas Bereishis. We know that the sun and the moon used to be the same size, right? And there was some type of fight. And Rashi over there says that the moon, doesn't necessarily mean the moon had this issue. We can learn out from this our own idea of not caring about what another person is like. The moon was like, oh, this guy is so much bigger than me, so we made him smaller. Right? In fact, the language was, Yi'efshu l'shnei malachim l'shamash b'keser echad. It's impossible for two kings to wear and serve with the same crown. That's what the language of Rashi is. That's what the moon said to the sun. How can you, God, make me, the moon, and the sun the same size? It's impossible that two servants can rule the same country. Because then Hashem made the moon smaller. Okay. And again, the idea of that Rashi is not that necessarily the moon spoke that way, but it's a message for ourselves that we shouldn't feel inferior and look at another person. If you look, oh, I have the same as this person, so I feel like I'm missing out. So you yourself become smaller because you feel that you're missing because all you're doing is focusing on someone else. But that shows that the idea of the moon, the idea of Rosh Chodesh, is the idea of kinnah, of jealousy over someone else. Someone wanting to take a position of royalty over another. Just like the moon wanted to felt that the sun was overpowering, so too that's the message of Rosh Chodesh, that Shaul on Rosh Chodesh felt that David maybe was going to overpower. But why is this, and we'll discuss this a little more next week, which we'll conclude with, why do we read this particular section on the day of Machar Chodesh? Well, it's two words, Machar Chodesh. Another explanation is, if you have Kiddush Levana, Kiddush Levana, it's interesting. You have actually times in which David's name is mentioned. You have David Melech Yisrael Chavikayom. We say it a few times. And then right after that, we say Shalom Aleichem. We greet people. We Aleichem Shalom, Shalom Aleichem. Some say that's the only time we say Shalom Aleichem to one another, once a month. But nonetheless, the significance of that is that David HaMelech represents the moon in some way, because the moon sometimes is full, sometimes you don't see it. So too, just like the moon sometimes is hidden from us, David on Rosh Chodesh this time also had to hide. But eventually, just as the moon will become full in all of its glory, so too one day David will do the same thing. But when we say David Melech Yisrael Chavikayom, the hope is Shalom Aleichem. That not that the king was going to want to kill me and hate me, but hopefully that the king, that David will end up being able to greet the king, to be able to have shalom, to have peace. Stop here.